Thanks for listening to College Crosscast 2019 Conference Outlook episodes. In this episode, we are going to be talking about the NEC. This is Ryan McDonald, and I'm joined by Chris and Jake. And on this episode, this is the last year that the NEC is a nice and manageable seven teams before it becomes Patriot League comically large next year when they absorb NJIT and welcome in first-year programs, LIU and Merrimack. So enjoy the tidiness of the Northeast Conference while you can, because it won't be like that when we do this next year.
Yeah, real nice and tidy seven. Small
very nice.
For sure.
But the NEC, it's going to be a top-heavy conference, as everyone's expecting a lot out of Robert Morris, and Bryant's still there in the hunt. Can the middle of the pack throw some chaos into the picture? Well, that's what we're here to discuss. And we'll start off with one of those mainstays and one of the top two teams in the conference, Bryant. The Bryant Bulldogs, a traditional NCAA tournament mainstay, but last year went 8-7 in the on the year, and went 5-1 in conference, but was overshadowed a bit when Robert Morris won the NEC title last year. So they're still the Bryant Bulldogs. They're still coached by Coach Pressler, and they're still going to give you fits if you're a if you're a good team that has them on the schedule. So can Bryant recapture the magic a little bit, have a better overall record, but still do their job in the NEC and maybe be that first round team that nobody wants to play come NCAA tournament time?
I'm a bit worried for them. They were a very solid team last year. They ranked 25th overall in efficiency. My worry is they were not a great defensive team that had it covered up by the fact that Kenny Massa won 68% of his faceoffs. And, this is a program historically with, you know, good faceoff play, but that's because they have the two masses, and now both of them are, obviously Kevin was a few years ago, and Kenny's gone now. And so, if they take a dip, you know, I mean, 68.5% is an extraordinary number. If they dip to, you know, even the low, you know, 50s or so, think that could potentially expose the defense, a bit of defense that does lose three guys who had 10-plus ground balls a year ago. So that is my worry for them. And they also lose, and they were the strength of the team was the offense, and they lose two of their top three scorers, Cam Ziegler and Tom Kennedy. Their top scorer, Marco Volk, had a fantastic year as a freshman, scored 33 goals. Jake, I'm going to butcher his name, Jake Boniato. If he's listening,
right.
I'm so sorry. I probably butchered that, but he had another really good year as a freshman. He scored 20 goals. So there were some young guys. It was their primary scorers were two freshmen and two seniors. The two freshmen probably improved, but they don't have, you know, the two seniors to go along with them this year. So, I mean, look, it's Bryant. It's hard to see them falling off too much. I do think they'll be able to find ways to win games because that's just, you know, what they do, but I could see them maybe falling a bit back to the pack this year.
Mm-hmm. Offense is solid. They don't have a mass taking faceoffs with them for the first time in, like, at least since, like, I don't know,
ever.
At Civil War, I guess. I feel like that's too long, but maybe, like, the Great Depression. Being four back, again, you mentioned, Jake, the defense is going to be their weakness even more because Chas South, Jake Chandler, Anthony Johnson, all gone, and they were, for the most part, I think, starters from a year ago. O'Rourke's going to be carrying this offense. Yeah, I mean, they'll probably be tough. I mean, Mike Presser always brings a tough team for Bryant every year, and, you know, he can find some guys that can fill some holes, but maybe it's going to be their quote-unquote down year in 2019.
Next up, we have the Hobart Statesmen. Last year, a bit of a disappointing season for Hobart. They went 4-10, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, 4-10 last year. Mm-hmm. They had some pretty high expectations last year, too. But this year, looking a bit more promising for them. Shall we expect a rebound up in Geneva this year?
Yeah, I mean this has become a really solid, you know, mid-major program. You know, Greg Raymond had really turned around. He wondered maybe if they hit a wall. You know, you kind of max out what you're capable of. That doesn't really excuse going to 4-10 though. They weren't bad. I mean, you know, the defense was solid. The offense, they still put up 10 goals. Problem was, you know, ultimately I think efficiency. You know, for a team that won 66% of its faceoffs, scoring 10 goals a game probably isn't enough. But this is a team that brings back pretty much everyone. Mm-hmm. Their top six scorers are all back. Matthew Pettacini, who did win 66% of faceoffs, he will be back as well. Goaltending was the team's big, I think, letdown. Sam Lucchesi saved 48%. Tristan Doherty, as a junior, had some time as well, and he only saved 35%, which is, with all due respect, one of the worst numbers I've seen at a D1 team. Yeah, I don't know. I guess this may be a year where everything kind of went wrong for them, and I don't see that happening again. And, I mean, it's worth noting this is a team that lost by 1 to Siena, lost by 3 to Georgetown, lost by 1 to St. Joe's, lost by 1 to Robert Morris, lost by 1 to Mount St. Mary's. And their wins to be Binghamton by 11, be Wagner by 6, Canisius by 9, to be Colgate by 1 as well. So, yeah, I think this, I do believe there will be a rebound for Ober. I don't know if it's going to be win the conference rebound, but I don't, that's not a 4-1 program in my opinion. I do think it's better than that.
Yeah, I think some of the results went not in their favor a year ago, and Jakey mentioned a lot of their guys come back. Justin Scott, leading goal scorer, 32 goals. Chris Aslanian, I think he had a huge performance 2 years ago. I think he had like 10 points in one game or something like that. He comes back with 47 points and 24 assists, both team highs. Pettacini mentioned 66% from the faceoff X. They return a good amount of their defensive guys, including Stanley Gilbertson, one of the better short stick D-middies in the conference. You also bring back Ethan Black Fernandez at LSM. He's a sophomore this year. Sam Mueller or Muller, not related to Robert, if it is a Muller, with 15 GBs. Park Schweider as well. And then the goalie situation, I think if you have Lucchesi, they might have had maybe another win or two from a year ago. But, mention, the results going their way, they should be fine. And St. Joe's isn't the same St. Joe's that they were last year. But they should have they definitely should have the personnel on offense to at least compete.
Yeah, Hobart should, I think, you know, I think they'll definitely rebound from last year. So going to be an interesting team to watch there with the Statesmen. Next up, we have Mount St. Mary's. Yeah, there's Mount St. Mary's, the same Mountaineers that we're used to. Mm-hmm. Do we expect anything different from Mount St. Mary's? Maybe a little surprise uptick?
It's not a bad team. You know? I guess, yeah, you could say, you know, similar to what they've been, but it was not a, you know, bad team by stretch. I mean, they trounced UMBC, they beat VMI Mercer, also destroyed Wagner at the end of the year, you know, and their two conference wins were against Hobart and Wagner, you know, the two bottom feeders. But this wasn't the solid overall team. They put up some decent numbers on offense, and they returned their top, 11 scorers. So pretty much everyone's back on the offensive side of the ball. Stam Stefan was a really good freshman faceoff guy. Look at some of their games, competitive against Delaware, competitive against Towson, competitive against Richmond, competitive in a loss at Sacred Heart. I could see this being maybe, you know, a team outside, maybe decent shot, maybe find a way to get on the positive side of the ledger in terms of conference record, maybe 3-3, potentially 4-2. Yeah, I don't think this is a bad team by any stretch.
No, they aren't. I was about to mention that they didn't have their coaches. They were one of the later teams that didn't have their full coaching staff. I think they lost a few assistants. But they literally just hired Eric Holt and officially John Page as their assistants for this year. Sam Stiffen, you know, one of the better underrated Fogos from a year ago. They also returned Chris DiPertoro and Brendan McCarthy as well. Luke Mutterer, as their goalie, didn't have the best of years. But they're 2-4. Tom Gravani's been there. He's entering his 24th year as head coach, which is wow for a guy like for a program like Mount St. Mary's. Good for them to have their coach stay there for that long. I could see them getting a slight uptick. They only lose 4% of their scoring and about 13% of their starts they lost. So they are an experienced team. They should compete. They should be at least a little bit better, but 5-9 was a pretty good year for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, ultimately that's sort of been their ceiling. I think they've got maybe a decent shot to sneak into the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up, let us take a trip to the shopping center, get some supermarkets at the Giant Eagle, and make our way across the street to Joe Walden Stadium to check out the hottest ticket in Pittsburgh in the spring, if you can't afford Pittsburgh Penguin tickets, the Robert Morris Colonials. And there's a lot to be excited with Robert Morris this year. Probably by far the conference favorite this year as well. And remember in last year's NCAA tournament, they gave Maryland some fits in the first round, and a lot of us have them in our top 20 in our College Cross preseason poll. Remember to check out that post as well as our podcast for that. So the Colonials might be that sleeper team come May that might pull off a shocking first round upset, and the world's their oyster when it comes to the NEC.
Yeah, well, I do have to adjust since Jimmy Perkins is no longer there. I was misinformed about that. Apologies. While losing him is the toughest blow because he is, you know, was their best player. Beyond him, they do bring back their next four return scorers, Matt Schmidt, Tyson Gibson, Ryan Smith, Corson Keeley, who all put up very good numbers. They do bring back Alex Hager as a junior who had a fabulous year in goal. Zachary Bryant is a tough loss. He was one of the best defenders in the country. Jack Toome had a really good year as a junior. He put up 53 run balls. It was actually even more than Bryant had. Yeah, without Perkins, I would probably drop them my overall poll a bit, a few spots. But as far as NEC goes, I don't really see this team being challenged much at all. They lost one game. They lost the home game to Bryant, but then came back and just stomped on them in the semifinal, 12-5. I do think this is the class of the conference, for sure. Though, both games against St. Joe's a year ago were by one goal, so the Hawks probably would have a bit of a quibble with that.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is going to be their toughest thing that they have to replace. But luckily, like, they ran a lot of depth last year at the LSM and even sometimes close to position. Will Ewing, Jake, you mentioned Jack Toome, Dylan Sidoriak as well as a guy to watch, and even maybe freshman Owen Down, potentially these guys to place there. But Matt Schmidt, Tyson Gibson, Ryan Smith, Corson Keeley, all back. Alex Heger back at goalie, and then you even get a couple of guys off. They get a transfer in Michael Autry from Bellarmine, who had a very good year last year, and Trey Arnold, who, you know, they'll probably split time. And I talked, and I know like a couple guys on RMU's team, and you know it'll help Trey Arnold be even more efficient than 43.3% this year, because I think Autry will take some faceoffs. They'll give it to Arnold, and you know, maybe that split time helps get Robert Morris some more possessions, especially in this more up and down era of college lacrosse, if this shot clock era does give us some more offense and possessions.
A couple non-con games to look out too, starting their season at Penn State, and then they get at Georgetown, and they host Marquette as well. So obviously in the NEC they're the favorite, but those are going to be some good litmus tests in terms of their upset potential come May, I think.
They even added a late season game with Lehigh on the 10th of April. It was a last-minute thing that I think will be. I think it'll give us a good test of how Robert Morris will be coming into the NCAA tournament if they do make it and win the NEC tournament, and even maybe even how Lehigh is, because who knows? Lehigh could be fighting for an at-large, but say if Loyola is really, really damn good and they beat Lehigh the first time in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, I already went over them in the pod a few days ago, so don't want to elaborate too much. But yeah, I think they'll be a very good team once again.
Next two teams are going to be interesting for pecking order on who makes the NEC tournament, and one of them is the Sacred Heart Pioneers, one of the teams in the midpoint of the conference. Last year, they went 3-3, grabbed the final spot in the NEC tournament. Do we see a return to the conference tournament in the cards, or are they going to fall just short?
Well, the upside for them is they have the best player in the conference. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a positive. Max Tuttle, we had him as a second-team All-American. He scored 45 goals a year ago for them. Joe Segese scored 41. He's back as well. Freshman Logan Liljeberg put up some solid numbers, 29 points. Still has two seniors, Kevin Kopp and Julian Garitano. This was a team that used had a lot of different guys take some face-offs, but primarily rode two guys, Jake Giaquinto and Mike Calvagna. Giaquinto took most of them, and he returned, so around 50%. Goaltending was a struggle. Brooks Dutton as a sophomore, let's say 49.5%. This was a team, again, they rode Tuttle, and Segese and Liljeberg should make a jump as well. They have Mike Chanchik, who's their offensive coordinator. I mean, they're going to put the ball in the cage. They're 28th in adjusted offense. The question is, can they find some stops? If they can find some stops, I do think this could be a really solid team. You know, they beat Stony Brook by 2 to begin the year. They beat Dartmouth by 6. Beat Providence at home. Won 3 games in the conference. So this was a pretty solid team. But just ultimately, they stuck with St. Joe's. Only lost by 2. Question: if they can get some stops, and I do think there can be some improvement there. I mean, they were 61st in adjusted defense. It's hard to get much worse. You know, I do like their chances of, you know, finding their way once again into the conference tournament, because there is a lot of talent on the offensive side.
Offensive side is going to be their big thing. And you mentioned, you know, Segese and Max Tuttle are back, and Liljeberg. The defense will be something to watch. They did get a couple guys from transfers, Tyler Senareka, sophomore from Bucknell, and Lucas Leyba from Detroit Mercy. That might help them a little bit. Brooks Dutton was in the same Brooks Dutton he was his freshman year. But with the fact that St. Joe's, which we'll get to in a little bit, won't be the same St. Joe's, maybe they might not even make the tournament, or the NEC tournament. You have Brian and Robert Morris, probably one, two, wherever you want to put them. Sacred Heart, I see them as the third best team in the conference, and they have two of the better offensive players in the country, in the conference as well. So they'll definitely put some pressure on Brian and Robert Morris, but again, the defense is going to be big. If Dutton can be a wall and net, that will definitely help them in the long run for this race to the NEC.
Also in that race for the final spots in the NEC tournament, it looks like, at least according to some of the preseason polls, team that went 6-0 last year out of Philly, St. Joseph's, but they have a lot of losses that they have to address this season. Roster-wise. So the Hawks went 11-4 last year. We're expecting a bit of a downturn, but can they hold water enough to remain towards the top of the NEC this go-round?
They lost 80.7% of their scoring.
Everyone. Oh, my God.
80. And starts, they lost 66.7%. That's 100 out of the 150 starts they lost. That's now. For the good news.
Let's talk some positives.
Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Mike Adler is back.
Adler's back. Shane Fable, who is the NEC All-Rookie, member of the NEC All-Rookie team, is back at attack. So that kind of helps a little bit with offense.
Liam Hare and Tyler McCarr are back on the defensive side. They do bring back most of the defense. So They were 13th in defensive efficiency. This was a great defensive team last year that does bring back most of the defense. So if you want to look at it and you want to find a way to say, can St. Joe's continue on and be a solid team, that is it. The thing is, though, why were they 6-0 in the conference results? Because they were able to complement that defense with a pretty solid offense that ranked 32nd in offense efficiency. but now all of it's gone.
They need to get some help on the midfield as well. I know this is an attack-heavy team.
They need help on just anyone who can plug in and give them something.
Nick Vernaccio was the returning scorer on at midfield, and he had 4 goals and 3 assists, and he started in that first midfield unit. So outside of Fable, who had 14 goals, 6 assists, Vernaccio had 7 points, and Thomas Holm had 3 goals and 1 assist. Those are your top 3 returning offensive leaders.
Yeah, Jesus. This was a senior-heavy team that went for it to finally get that break into the tournament. They came so close. Taylor Ray is a very good coach. I do think he'll find a way to, you know, put it in the blender and figure it out. Again, when you're a defensive team and you have the pieces come back and Adler in goal, I do think they can manage it a bit, but there is just no way you're going to be able to just be 6-0 in the conference again when you're losing so much. I could see them getting maybe the 4th spot in the conference tournament, but I can't remember the last time any team lost as much on offense.
Yeah, that's just a ridiculous amount of guys they lose. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very tough. Belly Jardaleza, 47.4%, maybe someone to watch for him to take more, or at least improve his faceoff totals. You also had Garrison Keta, who's maybe going to probably push for that as well, but they need to at least... they need to get better in that department. Cole Peters, I've heard of a guy to watch for on offense from Baldwinsville. I think his name's just been popular just because he's from that Central New York area, and Dylan Donahue works out with him. So.
And lastly, we have the reason why you're listening to this podcast.
Yes.
Wagner!
It's Wagner time. New coach.
Yep. Jason Reif. Reif with opportunities as his first year as Seahawks coach.
Who? It's Bill McCutcheon.
Oh, Bill McCutcheon. Oh, Lax.com being wrong here.
Where are you looking? What?
Yeah, Lax.com, I guess, has wrong info.
Well, that's why you trust College Cross and not Lax.com. By the way, Matrix on our website, CollegeCross.com. Every coach, roster, schedule, everything you need, every game as well.
It is Bill McCutcheon. I should have listened to our own stuff.
Yes. I reported the damn news, Ryan.
All righty. So, Bill McCutcheon.
Just like I said on the Mac podcast multiple times. God damn it, Ryan. Anyways, different culture for Wagner. From what I've been hearing from a few of the guys, the culture's a little bit better. I think Matt Posque, he's out in Montclair State now. Didn't really have the team a lot. Bill McCutcheon at least brings in some new blood. They do have a few guys. John Norton, he's your second leading scorer from a year ago. And they have a really good defenseman, I believe. The name of... Who was it? It's Kyle Stofko, who had 34 ground balls, 21 caused turnovers. He was on the all-freshman list. But they are in the NEC. They do have, you know... I think at least like that 4 spot is wide open. Maybe they find a peek in, but I don't think it's their time yet.
It was a great defensive team last year. They were top 30 in defensive efficiency. They returned pretty much everyone from that defense. The problem is they're like the worst offensive team in the country.
Yeah.
And they lose 3 of the top 5 scorers from the team. So they'll lose, I don't know, 9-5 every week, I guess, but they're still going to lose. If they could get a talent infusion on offense and recruiting, I think that would be their goal. Because the defense is relatively young and has some, you know, solid play. Again, they have was really good. Matt Sefcik, who's a junior, saved it 57%. Yeah, they can keep the ball out of the cage, but boy, they cannot put it in it. So, it's just when you. And again, this is can be, you know, a defensive conference with Bryant and Robert Morris, and so if there's one thing I guess you want to do well, kind of be like Sacred Heart and be able to score, you know, to be able to, you know, compliment, you know, pose a, you know, something different for those teams to face. Wagner being a defensive team, going up against Bryant, who's also a defensive team, I mean, you know, that is what it is.
As you look around the NEC, now remember, next year it gets a lot bigger with some new faces in the fray, so this is kind of the last year of the NEC as we know it. And thus, who do we have winning the conference? Now, remember, this could be a regular season champ that we think will take care of business in the tournament. It could also be a team that gets hot that weekend in May and gets themselves into the NCAAs. Either way is possible. We're not judging anyone on their picks. So who do we have winning the Northeast Conference?
Romo.
Yep. I think that's an easy yeah. pick there.
Yep, Romo. We're unanimous on it, so... I think we'll the Colonials are just too good compared to everybody else. There's some question marks at some other places, and Robert Morris, not only the known entity, but a legit top 20 team. So, yeah, got to give it to the Colonials.
Yeah, by the way, Ryan, Jason Reif was fired like late in the 2011 season from Wagner as their head coach.
Jake and I have been using it. I know, yeah. Jake and I have been using Lax.com. It's been a good source for.
Hey man, I didn't. Don't put this on me. I didn't say it.
On that note, do follow us at college_cross because we do have accurate information, and I should trust our own reporting way more so. For God's sakes, I even had the Matrix up on a different tab.
Yep.
Otherwise, if you want incorrect takes, you can follow me at RyanMcD29. And for correct tweets and takes, follow the following two.
CF Jastrzemski.
_Nazar.
And we thank you for listening to our college crosscast conference previews, this one being the NEC. Go out there and stay hydrated.